following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 24 for February 1st, 2010. Punxsutawney Phil. Six months into this podcast already. I cannot believe it. It is completely scary.
Just a little bit.
This is Aaron and Rodney, of course, and we have a couple of mainstream tech things to talk about, but most of this episode will be focused on the Assistive Technology Industry Association conference that took place last week in Orlando, Florida, ATIA for short, or as Rodney likes to pronounce it.
ATIA.
Yeah. Or as Jaws. Or
as we're in the South. There has to be a little bit of a dialect there somewhere.
So ATIA, or as Jaws likes to pronounce it, Asia.
I thought it was something you ate with Mexican food, but that was a tortilla.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tortilla is Mexican. ATIA, not so much.
Okay.
So, and then of course we will end with a what are they thinking moment. And an interesting little product that I found on Gizmodo that wakes you up in quite unorthodox fashion.
And just so people know, there will be no adult content in this podcast.
You sure about that?
I don't know, but we're at least aiming for that.
Okay.
Aim low as possible.
Yeah. All right. Let's get started with the revolutionary Apple development that's taking the world by storm, the iPad.
Yeah, possibly the worst name possible in the history of products. Apple went into a event on the 27th, the long-awaited iPad announcement that everybody has been going absolutely nuts over for the last year.
Well, we didn't know what the name was going to be.
No, they went for iSlate. Some people were thinking that there was going to be an iTablet, or hopefully they were going to get rid of the i altogether, but that doesn't seem to have happened. It was kind of funny because they had reserved the name for iSlate, iSlate.com, iTablet.com, sort of.
Oh, had they really?
Yeah, to stoke the fires of rumor.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was kind of hating the iSlate, which is interesting because they didn't even go with that. Mm-hmm. But at CES, everybody came out with their Slate computers. New form factor, the Slate, the Slate, HP Slate, and Lenovo came out with the Slate. It looks like it's going to be a new hot category. The only problem is that Apple went with iPad. But anyway, let's get off of the name for the moment.
Yes.
We'll come back to that. The iPad is a new entry into the, well, we're not really quite sure what it's an entry into. It's an ebook reader.
Mm-hmm.
It is a almost netbook, but not quite a netbook. It kind of fits in the price range a little bit above that. So go over a few specs here. The Apple iPad has a 9.7-inch screen diagonally. It has a screen resolution of 1024 by 780, and it is running an ARM processor created apparently by Apple. Some pictures that they showed actually had an Apple logo on the processor. It is an A4 ARM chip that runs at 1 gigahertz. Very snappy, very quick. Should be perfect for doing multimedia. It's half an inch thick and only weighs about a pound and a half.
Nice.
So the best way to describe it is if anybody has seen an iPhone or an iPod Touch, it's basically a giant version of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be able to do your iTunes, videos, TV shows, anything like that. They're also going to have iWork included on the iPad, which is their version, their stripped down version of Microsoft Office type applications. Are going to have Pages, which is word processing, and Numbers, which is spreadsheets. And they're going to have the web browser Safari and a way to get to all of your email and things like that. the overall product has a small bezel all the way around it, which is like an edge to it. A lot of people were saying that they were disappointed that it actually had an edge, that it just looks tacky that way. But you really kind of have to have that in order to hold on to something.
Yeah, that's true.
Its real target in production is apparently going to be the Amazon Kindle. The e-reader that Amazon produces is closed. They have their own sort of book format, their own pricing scheme. But Apple is coming out with their own section of their iTunes store called iBooks. And it's going to work off of the EPUB, which I believe is open source. But rumors are by Gina Trapani of the This Week in Google podcast, she estimated that the ebooks sold in the store would actually be DRM'd in some fashion. So they may be limited to playing on the iPad.
I can't
get used to saying that iPad.
That is a crappy name, I gotta say. iPod, iPad.
Okay, we'll get back to that later.
Oh, sorry.
But anyway, so when I heard this, I was thinking, okay, EPUB, that's sort of an open source book format. That'd be great. It's used by Sony, other ebook stores. So one of the developments you had from the ATIA was ATIA, pardon me.
Thank you, dear.
Was the fact that the Victor Reader Stream is going to support EPUBs.
Yes, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. But I was thinking when I heard those two things that, oh, well, this will be a great way for visually impaired users to get textbooks and make purchases that way over iTunes. But if they're going to put DRM, it's probably going to be limited to only playing on the iPad or iPods or iPhones.
Well, the iPad, though, may be accessible because it's going to come provided with a version of VoiceOver and with some magnification abilities, too, I believe. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
So it may not be that big of a deal. You just need to buy an iPad.
Yeah, but if you've already got the Victor, why would you technically need the iPad? That's the real question that everybody's having right now is the fact that, okay, is it something that you need or is it something that you simply want?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that applying to everybody because, I mean, if you have a netbook, why would you need an iPad? If you have a laptop, why would you really need it?
If you had a Victor, why would you really need it?
Well, iPad does so many more things than a regular digital reader does, or even than an iPod does.
No, it's exactly the same as an iPod. Plays video, plays audio.
But it has computer proper programming. I mean, you know, like you can write documents and stuff in it too, can't you?
Yeah, you can write documents. There's an on-screen keyboard. Leo Laporte, during his massive Twit coverage of the event on the 27th. Yeah, he was actually in the third row of the theater, and he turned his laptop, his MacBook, around facing the screen, and he Skyped out the entire presentation. And there's actually pictures circulating of him on the internet showing the screen back at Steve Jobs. It's the most hilarious thing. And he really thinks that Steve gave him the stink eye a few times over streaming. But Leo has pointed out that usually at events like this, they point out nobody should stream it, turn off all phones, computers, and things like that. But they really didn't do that this time. So he's kind of like, well, next time I guess I'll carry a camera just in case.
Right.
Because he kept showing two people's heads in there the whole time. But I don't know. It was interesting. Twit ended up having like almost 200,000 viewers on that day.
That's incredible.
That is unreal for a web internet network like that. So the iBook, I don't know. I look at it and it seems
like the iPod. iPad. I don't think we're going to get this right.
I'm trying.
Three things with eyes on them.
Ay.
So the iPad.
Yeah. So, speculations still are whether or not Apple is going to come out with some sort of a all-in-one TV package, possibly. They didn't mention anything like that, where you could subscribe to like the most popular shows on television and just get a monthly subscription for like $30, something like that. The interesting thing about the iPad is the fact that they're going to have three different SKUs. As far as size, they're going to offer a 16 gigabyte, 32, and a 64 gigabyte, which basically mimics the iPod Touch mm-hmm. that's out there now. The multiple SKUs will be the fact that the low-end models that start at $499 will have Wi-Fi, which will be A, B, G, and N compatible.
Mm-hmm.
The little bit more expensive version for like $130 extra, you can get 3G mobile
Ooh.
Offered through AT&T. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are kind of upset over AT&T service dropping calls and things like that. But they are in the process of spending, I believe it is about $2 billion to upgrade their network. When all is said and done, AT&T mm-hmm. may end up being the most powerful cell service in the U.S. just because of these upgrades to keep up with Apple's processes.
Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't be surprising.
It's kind of an interesting thing. I believe the cheapest 3G model starts around $700.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the top price is like $839 or something. So you can get that, be able to connect to the internet. You can have it for Wi-Fi. A lot of people are thinking that the 16 gigabyte Wi-Fi version may just be perfect for putting beside the bed or reading the newspaper in the morning, things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that the screen does not have, to go back to Leo's thing, he, after the presentation, was able to play with one of these for a few minutes, and he had commented that the screen does not give any type of feedback. So if you touch the screen, you don't get a response back. It's just a smooth fingerprint resistant glass.
As if you were touching a monitor, a flat screen monitor.
Yeah, pretty much. It is an LCD screen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were hoping that it was going to be a little bit better screen, kind of like the Nexus One has, which is OLED, but I guess they saved battery and energy usage by going with this LCD screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I haven't got an iPod Touch or an iPhone, so my understanding is that when you touch those screens, you actually get a little bit of a feedback as far as you press something.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be a little bit of a concern for users. They do have some interesting attachments that you can get, like accessories. They have like a camera so that you can scan in, take pictures and put them into the iPhoto. They have different cable connections. But the most interesting part is the fact that they have a small keyboard that you can you can dock the iPad onto this keyboard and use it as a screen. Now, it's not really a computer. It's not a netbook. It's running the Apple iPhone operating system 3.2,
mm-hmm.
which isn't out for the iPhone yet. So it's kind of, it's not really a computer, because I think you have to say, you have to either email, I think you have to either email the documents to yourself or something. There's something weird about how you have to save documents. But all of this is kind of speculation, because mm-hmm. No one is able to actually really get their hands on it yet, I don't believe. Or at least there's not any reports of anything. During the Grammys, Stephen Colbert had one to announce one of the Grammy nominations and winners, and everybody was kind of going nuts over that, because Apple usually doesn't do that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. maybe they're trying a different marketing approach.
Maybe.
But as far as a sleek apparatus that you could carry around and use, I think it's pretty good. As far as whether you need one or want one,
yeah,
I guess only time will tell.
It just doesn't, I mean, it doesn't sound, it sounds very portable and for really an on-the-go type of situation, but it doesn't sound very powerful. And it doesn't sound like it does really much computer-oriented, like you would just sit writing documents and things. It's more for media.
Yeah, it's definitely a media consumption, whether you do newspapers. But the mm-hmm. big thing is that it's going to be the perfect EPUB format reader, just because it has the ability to do embedded video and audio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the big kicker for it. Whether or not people like looking at an LCD screen as opposed to
an OLED screen.
Or OLED, or even the e-ink screen that the Amazon Kindle uses, only time will tell as people start using them.
Mm-hmm.
when I first saw it, I was thinking, hey, this looks like a great thing. But then after you start thinking about it, okay, you can't really stick it in your pocket. You have to start carrying a merce or man purse, something like that, in order to carry this thing around. Because it's like a 8.5 by 11 portfolio, which they have a carrying case that looks like that. So I don't know whether it'll be a convenience thing or whether it'll just be an at-home thing. And speculations are that it may appeal more to the at-home crowd, you know, looking to get something to watch videos or serve up pictures.
We need to move along.
Yes, we do.
You are really taking this long and slow.
I've only been listening to this stuff for about a year now, so it's kind of hard to be wordy, not be wordy.
Oh, we need to move along. So we had another interesting note with regard to the iPad name.
Yes, the iPad was first mentioned back in 2007 on a Mad TV skit. This has been going around the internet off and on, where Mad TV made fun of the iPad, which didn't exist at that point.
This is their vision of what an iPad is.
Yes, and just so you know, it's a little risque, and we'll just leave it at that.
Lindsay, great job in the sales meeting. Hey, do you have a pad I can borrow?
Sure, here you go.
No, you know, the other kind of pad.
I can't believe you still use maxi pads.
I know, I have a narrow cervix, and so it's painful for me to insert.
No. I meant, why use a maxi pad when there's the new iPad from Apple?
Okay, just to fill in, the iPad is something that she is wearing under her skirt, and she has a cord coming out from under her skirt and going into her laptop.
Oh, my God.
iPad? With the new iPad, I just hook up my Apple to my Peach, and I can download protection for up to 1,000 periods.
I like that.
And with wireless Bluetooth technology, iPad sets you up for fast uploading without all that water bloating.
Oh, wow, that's great. But what if my computer has a virus?
Don't worry. Each iPad comes pre-installed with vaginal firewall protection.
That's where we'll stop it there.
Yeah, stop it right there. It's getting a little out of hand.
But that is one take on the iPad, courtesy of Mad TV and YouTube.
Here, finally, to move along and switch gears, now it's my turn to be wordy and talk about the ATIA conference that occurred in Orlando this past, it was from the 27th to the 31st, so I guess it officially ended yesterday, although I'm not quite sure what was actually done yesterday. The Assistive Technology Industry Association is made up of companies that produce products of assistive technology, whether they be related to blindness or other physical handicaps. I know a lot about the blindness products, so I'm going to be talking a lot about those. But there were some companies there that did other things. This is essentially like CES for the disabled. So people come in, companies come in, and they display new products or talk about upgrades to old products. And I have a mixed bag of these kinds of things here. I'll start off by talking a little bit about some upgrades to mobile devices. We talked a little bit about how the iPad, has a version of VoiceOver on it. I'm not quite sure how good it is or how capable it is. But it's probably similar to what's on the iPhone because the iPad is using the iPhone's OS. Blind people who use Windows mobile phones use screen reader technology, and you have to buy it separately. It's not included with Windows Mobile. One particular screen reader that's being upgraded is MobileSpeak for Windows 6.5 Windows Mobile and Symbian phones. Apparently, with this new version of MobileSpeak from Code Factory, you will be able to use the same version on different phones. So essentially you install it on the SIM card, and then it's not linked with a phone number like the older versions are. It's linked with the SIM card. So if you got really techie and wanted to use another phone, you just pop out the SIM card and put it in the other phone. That's not the way the current versions work.
So that would probably come in handy if you were going abroad and you wanted to buy a SIM card for your phone in a foreign country.
Yeah. Or if you had a Symbian phone and a Windows mobile phone, because now the license, you can license both to use both. Mobile speak for Symbian and mobile speak for Windows smartphone. It has more powerful features when reading on the internet. It interacts better with SMS messaging, and it has a better quality voice output than the older versions. The upgrade price, Code Factory's, you know, wheeze on this has always been, check with your distributor to see what the upgrade price is. And for me, it's not worth the money. It's, I think, $150, give or take, to upgrade. Call the distributors, but that's pretty much the base, as far as I can tell, from what people have been talking about on Twitter.
So you might be able to get it for like $140.
Probably,
something
yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, the price of Mobile Speak from Code Factory was $295, and I bought it for $287. So it's not like I got a whole lot off the price when I bought it the first time. And if you've purchased it from AT&T, from their NCCD department, you know, the upgrade might be different. You have to call them AT&T for that. It might not be $150 like it would be if you bought the full version from a distributor like I did. Code Factory and Humanware are also teaming up on another screen reader, this one for the BlackBerry smartphones. And it's taken a long time to develop this because they've had to work with RIM Technologies, who created the BlackBerry firmware, to develop this, or BlackBerry OS, I guess I should say, to develop this screen reader. And for the longest time, up until today, they were calling it Orator. But apparently there is another company that has a product by the same name, and so they felt like they should change it. So now it's called Oratio, O-R-A-T-I-O.
Isn't that the character out of CSI Miami?
No, that's Horatio.
Oh.
Yeah.
I must be thinking of CSI Chicago.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I wouldn't know.
Continue on.
But in any event, it's now called Oratio. They had to do something, I guess, because they were afraid of trademark infringement, possibly, about this name. And they've been calling it Orator for years, because the concept has been around for years. It is coming out within, I guess, a couple months, probably, and it's going to support initially only the BlackBerry Curve, but they're bringing support out for more and more BlackBerries, you know, as time goes on. So I think it only supports the Curve and maybe one other, but that's about it at this point.
Yeah, the Curve is pretty much the standard mm-hmm. BlackBerry. Everybody seems to gravitate towards that one,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to their touch screens and things like that.
Humanware had a lot of different things going on at ATIA this year. They did not develop this with Code Factory. It's like their relationship with, they didn't develop this. Code Factory, I think, was the company that developed it, but Humanware is providing the funding for it. I'm not quite exactly sure of the relationship, but the two companies are collaborating on that. Humanware had its own lineup of products at ATIA also, one of which is a new note taker that's being added to the Braille Note family of note takers called the Braille Note Apex. Its price is rather steep. I've heard anywhere from $6,000 to $8,000, and it's probably somewhere in the middle. It's like the note takers you see around nowadays with running Windows Mobile. I think it runs Windows CE, actually. Wi-Fi capable, supports SD cards, essentially like an iPad with what you can do, although you don't have to email yourself documents. But it does all the audio, browsing the internet, use of Wi-Fi. I'm not sure about 3G. But what sets the Apex apart is the fact that it is a lot thinner and lighter weight, again, just like the iPad, than the variety of note takers that are around. And they do trade-ins. So if you have another Braille Note and you want an Apex, or even if you have a note taker by another company and want an Apex, you can talk with Humanware about trading it in. And I heard a demonstration of this, and I just wasn't that impressed. I mean, it sounded great and all, but I really would much rather have a netbook and a Braille translator. The price might be, it still might be a steep price, but a netbook allows for more customization and you can do more things than if you just had a note taker. I don't know. The same wheeze I've always had, but not been able to afford one, so I guess I can't really talk too much. since I've never experienced the power of these things. I don't know what Windows CE is in terms of the OS that it runs. It's similar to Windows Mobile.
Yeah, it's what they... Windows used to make a mobile platform for like their PDAs and things, and it was Windows CE. And then that sort of evolved into Windows Mobile, which at some point they will come out with Windows Mobile 7 or possibly even a Zune phone, but I digress.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Apex is a good thing if you want thinner, lighter weight, and more portable note takers. Then they will do trade-ins, which is nice. But as yet, I haven't really seen anything to make it stand out from its fellow note takers, I guess is what I'm saying.
So explain to me, the ignorant, what is exactly a note taker?
It is a device that has most of them have Braille keyboards, although some of them do have type keyboards like the Type Lite from Freedom Scientific that Freedom Scientific used to make. And I think Freedom Scientific's Pac-Mate also has one with a keyboard, a typing keyboard. But anyway, I digress. It's got a keyboard. It's essentially like a laptop computer, but geared towards the blind. And it's not as powerful as a laptop. It kind of comes in the ballpark of, I don't even know that it's they're as powerful as netbooks, but they do allow blind people some portability. If you want to browse the internet or listen to audio on the go or do documents on the go, you can take your note taker and you've got speech and Braille at your fingertips without having to have multiple devices.
Oh, so you'd be able to read what you typed back without having to hear it.
Right, I mean, it's got a Braille display. You can do that if you have a laptop and a Braille display, but you have to have two devices.
Yeah.
This is essentially combining it into one device.
Yeah, okay.
Like my old Braille light that I have in there. It's the same kind of concept.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. But it's just, they have a lot more capability now than the Braille light does.
So a netbook and a note taker attachment, Braille display attachment would probably be what? $3,500 to get a decent one?
Well, a Braille display, to get a decent, like, 32 cell Braille display, it's probably about $3,500, maybe $4,000. To get a note taker, like a Braille Note Apex, I think $8,000 is a little high. I think it may be less than that. It may be about $7,000 if you don't have anything to trade in on it. You know, of course, it's a lot more, and I don't think they have a 32 cell. I think it's only a 20 cell display.
Ew.
Yeah, I know.
But I guess at the same time, you're looking at convenience and having one device to carry.
Yeah, you're looking at convenience and portability, and that's what, that's what this...
Because if you were sitting in a classroom or something like that, and you had to have a netbook sitting on the table and then have this keypad that you're typing into sitting there, that might take a little too much
room. Yeah, it might take a little too much time.
If I remember my computer, my college desk...
Yeah, they're not that big, are they?
No, not hardly.
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, for convenience and portability, it's definitely a good thing and probably will be, you know, note takers are very popular in classroom settings. A lot of high schoolers and college kids have them for that very reason. They're portable and small. The Victor Reader Stream is getting an upgrade. It is a free upgrade. Pretty much all firmware upgrades on the Victor Reader Stream are free. I don't think all of them will be. Maybe they'll be paid in the future, but for right now they're still free. I didn't get a sense of what this was offering other than it was going to offer support for books in EPUB format like we were talking about a little earlier with the iPad. So you'll be able to have access to more books. It will be able to read them in that particular format. Widening of the scope a little bit of the formats that you can currently use. And also, it is going to allow for a folder navigation in the digital books folder so that you can sort your books the way you want by maybe genre, for instance, instead of having them all in alphabetical order by title in one folder like they are now. Otherwise, the folks from Humanware were being pretty close-mouthed about the features that were going to be in this new firmware. I hope there are more of them. At the same time, it's free, so I'm not going to complain too much. But we'll see when it comes out. People are very impatient. I'm getting to be a little impatient. This was supposed to be out in November, and it's now, what, February? So they're taking their time. It better be good. a product that is getting a major overhaul. It's another digital reader. It's getting a major overhaul. It's called the Bookport. It is from the American Printing House. They sell this product. And it's now called the Bookport Plus. And I say major overhaul because the old Bookports, the feedback was not a human voice, for starters. It was the double talk speech synthesizer that was originally developed, I think, by RC Systems Incorporated out of Seattle. I used to have one. I really liked it. But now the voice is human.
You mean they ditched Paul?
Oh, no, he wasn't Paul.
Oh, it wasn't Paul.
No, it was Pete.
My name is Paul.
Yeah, this was Bright Pete, I believe.
Okay.
But anyways, the voice prompts are all human now instead of that double talk voice. And the reading voice is a form of vocalizer similar to the one in the Victor Reader Stream. They have Samantha, and the APH one also has that voice now. It supports all the document formats that the Victor Reader Stream supports. I'm not sure if it supports Audible books yet. It may not support quite as many formats yet. It's just coming out. This market is getting pretty crowded. We've got the BookSense from GW Micro, the Victor Reader Stream, and this Bookport Plus. One of the features that the Bookport Plus has that makes it very nice is it has very good recording capabilities. I was listening to a demonstration of it over the internet waves, and it sounded very good, similar to probably what you would get out of an Editorial, like we are using to record now with. Stereo recording, it sounded pretty good. One thing I didn't like about it, though, is the demonstration. It had all these cutesy little sounds whenever it was doing something. It made me feel like I was on Mr. Rogers or something. All these little cutesy little piano tunes and little jingles. That just gets annoying, but that's just me. Personal preference. I think the price point for this is about, it's in the mid-300s, similar to Victor Reader.
So it sounds like there's becoming a crowded space, just like there is on the non-disability side.
Yeah, and another thing that's getting crowded in this market, the market for digital readers is becoming kind of saturated, and also the market for scanning and reading appliances is becoming oversaturated too. We've got, you know, very few blind folks who can afford the scanning standalone scanning appliances, like, for example, the Visionaire, the iPal that's been talked about 6 months to a year now, which essentially is a platform with a camera, and the camera moves down the page and scans it. And also the KNFB Reader, which is one for the mobile phone that does a similar thing. The phone takes a picture of the page and scans it. There are more of those standalone, because they call them capture stations now, coming out. There's one from Gorilla Technologies called Visionary. It seems like it's pretty much the same as the iPal. I forget who makes that. And the Intel Reader. That's the other one I was trying to think of, too, is also out. And another company called Avis is coming out with, or EVAS, is coming out with a scanning appliance similar to this, too, called the MIS. And you ask, I mean, all these interviewers are asking these people what makes their devices different. And they really can't come up with a straight answer. They're all about $1,500, and they all seem to do pretty much the same thing. I remember the interviewer from the EVAS company. I hope he's not the interviewer, but the person that they were talking to from EVAS. Well, number one, he sounded as old as Methuselah. And number two, he waffled more than any of them on what made his scanning appliance different. I think what it ended up being was, not only could you scan with this device, but you could also listen to internet radio at the same time using the same device.
Ooh.
Woo-wee.
Wow. I'm really impressed there.
Yeah. And so none of these really, to me, stand out. I mean, you've got the Intel Reader. The KNFB Reader is kind of different because it's on a mobile phone. But the Intel Reader, the iPal, this Visionary from Gorilla Technologies is supposed to be new, this MIS from this other company, they all seem to be sort of the same price point. Some may be a little slower or faster, but beyond that, I'm not seeing the attraction, and I wonder how long each one of them will last. And that's essentially, I mean, that's another question the interviewers were posing to these people. How long do you think your appliance will last? I mean, you know, you think yours has something over the other ones, and, you know, they were all trying to make out like they did, but I guess time will tell. and only the purchasing of these things will actually tell how much, where the preferences lie on these.
So where's the market for this? I mean, as opposed to like you having an Epson scanner in Kurzweil, what's the difference?
This is a little different because
other than you could listen to web radio.
Aside from that, it's faster.
Oh, okay.
Much faster because it's a camera that takes a single image of a page. So a scan that would take me in total about 40 seconds, because you have to count up and down.
Oh, okay.
Would take this camera on these appliances maybe about anywhere from 10 to 20 seconds. So it cuts down on the speed.
Are they auto feed?
I don't think so.
So you'd lose sort of the productivity there with having to switch out the pages.
I mean, if you had a document feeder on your scanner. They also stand alone, so you don't technically need a computer for most of these to operate. They have their own, it's like the old Kurzweil reading machine. They have their own kind of voice output, and I think one of them actually had a screen for magnification. And I think that was the EVAS one, and the guy was all excited because, ooh, we use this OLED technology. No one else is using this technology. I'm like, dude, I hate to burst your bubble, but Nexus One's got it.
Well, maybe in that particular product line.
Maybe. Maybe that's what he meant. It was just kind of funny at the time to hear
granted, for somebody that's visually impaired with usable sight, the OLED screen would be outstanding.
Yeah. Apparently, I mean, all you see is text. It's very simple. It's like a visual tech with a scanner.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Yeah. With scanner and speech.
I hate those things.
Yeah, and you have one in the closet in there.
Yes, I do, from 1980-something.
You do know that they make much better ones now that are much cheaper and lighter weight with flat screens.
Yeah, but I couldn't stand using the stupid thing way back then. I don't know if I could tolerate using one now. I don't really know that I need it. I have this thing called a computer.
That's true. another development...
Maybe an iPad at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, next.
Anyway, we're almost done here. We have a few more, and then we'll be on towards other things. Another new development from Saratech. This is another sort of standalone stationary something. They have launched Accessible Event, which is their conferencing software. They've had that out for a while now, and it's essentially like GoToMeeting, but for the disabled. So blind and visually impaired, and I think hearing impaired, can access this and have access to conferences online, with the, you know, the presenter's notes and slides and things available to them to be viewed. This, what they're unveiling now, is called the Accessible Event Hotspot. So it's similar, but it's a standalone station where the presenter can control the accessibility for each person in the event. It's geared, I believe, towards presentations on site. So if you've got a presentation, you're set up in a room for a presentation, and each person's got a laptop in front of them, the presenter, through the hotspot at the front of the room, can control which laptops, can determine which laptops need screen reading support and which laptops need closed captioning, and gear the presentation in that particular way.
Oh.
So each person, the presenter controls what each person sees on their laptop based on that person's needs.
Huh, now that's kind of interesting.
I didn't hear a demonstration of it, but I believe I've got it kind of correct as to what this thing is supposed to do. And they have this, you know, this is supposed to be used for presentations on site, not so much online. That's their accessible event, kind of like GoToMeeting. There were other people at ATIA that had other materials for educational purposes and presentation purposes. There were some companies putting out products for people who had trouble writing and speaking. There were some spell checking software geared, I believe, specifically towards those who are dyslexic. Also, there were some other companies targeting what I was hearing it called digital immigrants. In other words, if you're a company whose employees are very far back in the understanding of technology, this is technology to help your employees become used to working with technology, I guess. I was sort of confused. The problem with a lot of this assistive technology stuff is that we all, in our own little spheres, have our own lingo. So I was trying to look at stuff for other disabilities and getting a little confused as to what everything did. And I think some of this is highly sort of theoretical and academic, like this digital immigrant stuff, very sort of sociology oriented almost. It was kind of hard to get my head around what all of it did. But simply to point out that there were many other exhibits than those I talked about that I just won't go into because I didn't get it.
Digital immigrant.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Maybe Dana knows what that... We have a friend who's doing her thesis on some kind of digital something in communications. She might know what that means, but...
Digital immigrants, that just...
Isn't that stupid?
Did Apple come up with this?
No, it's people are bandying it around on Twitter like it's something that we all should know what it means. And from what I was looking on wiki pages and things like that, it meant like people who are trying to get other people used to working with technology in a professional setting.
So I guess
these people were digital immigrants because they'd never worked with technology before. So how do their bosses or supervisors introduce them to it? Isn't that making a something out of nothing?
I guess they're just trying to create a new buzzword.
You know? Yeah, I know. It's kind of sad, actually.
So I guess it's a new term for Amish.
Yeah, kind of.
They're electrically challenged.
Maybe there's more to this than I'm aware of, just with my kind of lightweight research on the topic. Maybe there's more that I'm not catching on to, but it just seems like a new buzzword to add to the multitudes that seem to be created every year, and I'm not seeing the use for it. The last thing I wanted to cover with ATIA that I did think this was interesting, there is a company called Atomic Learning, and it offers a growing collection of tutorials for assistive technology products, regardless of disability. I mean, they've got everything from Dragon to Jaws to other Zoom Text and all kinds of other things. And there are about 5,000 tutorials. And they've got, you have to subscribe to it. It's not free. There is an individual license, and there's also a site license that you can get for these. But it would be useful. They target mainly educational institutions because their tutorials are basically question and answer. So they say 5,000, but it may only be, I don't know, 100 products. But they're set up in ways, I mean, you know, one question and one answer per tutorial rather than an overview of how the product works. So it's set up for more educational and training types of materials. But some people might find that useful if they're interested. It's Atomic Learning. I don't know the website, but if you search that, you'll find it. And they do have a free trial membership if anyone's interested in that.
So it's kind of a lynda.com for the disabled.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Moving along, there is a product out that was not meant, I don't think, to be for the hearing impaired, but could easily be used by them or anyone else needing to wake up in an unorthodox manner, whether it's for a fire or for a morning commute to work. This is an alarm clock that doesn't release sound when you wake up, but releases, through an aerosol spray, a continual stream of wasabi-scented air.
Wasabi!
Yes. And they say it takes, like, what, 2.5 minutes for you to wake up fully because it's sort of a gradual insinuation into your breathing passages or whatever. It's not a poof all at once.
Does it serve me some Asian cuisine afterwards is my question.
No, it's just to wake you up. And apparently someone really believes in this thing because it's like $550 or something like that and you can buy it.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
That seems like it would be more harmful than good, especially if it sprayed you in the eyes with that hot wasabi juice.
I don't know if it's just juice or if it's just the scent of it.
Oh.
I think it's just the scent of it. Like, you know, those Glade spray things, like just, I think it's more scent than actual juice or hot mustard. But still, I'm not seeing the appeal here.
I mean, granted, I could understand it if it was like an alarm clock or an alarm or something that would actually be like bacon.
Oh, you know, bacon.
Everything's better with bacon.
That's
so, I mean,
true.
If there's a fire or something, I mean, if you tell me that there's bacon outside or donuts or something like that, I'm going to be outside looking for those donuts.
Mm-mm-mm.
Granted, I'm going to be ticked off afterwards, but at least I saved myself.
Yeah. And the bacon alarm actually has the smell of bacon and the sound of bacon. I don't know if it has the smell of bacon, but I know it has the sound of bacon.
You know, the scary thing is that there probably is really a product like this already out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
Yeah.
Wasabi.
Yeah. Okay, and lastly...
The what in the world are they thinking? We don't try to come up with these ideas, but we always find something that just makes you go, huh? Uh-huh. That was pretty good, dear. We came up with that at the same time.
We've been together way too long.
I know. Anybody want to trade? Anyway, the folks at PETA, the Ethical Treatment of Animals folks, they are now trying to get the folks of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, to let go of their groundhog. We have a tradition in the U.S. where it's Groundhog Day, and whether or not the groundhog sees his shadow makes a determination on the...
length of winter before spring.
Exactly.
Groundhog Day is tomorrow, by the way, February 2nd.
Yes, it is. And this groundhog is Punxsutawney Phil. There was a movie with Bill Murray back in the 90s that involved this over and over and over and over again and over. Yeah. But anyway, they are protesting and requesting that they release the entrapment of this groundhog and replace it with a groundhog robot. A robot, people.
Come on.
A robot. Somehow I'm not seeing a cuddly robot getting the attention of people to where there's like Punxsutawney t-shirts and things for a robot.
No, I mean, I'm not seeing it either. It's silly. I mean, why are they wanting that?
I don't know. They just feel that it's being unethically treated because of being contained in this little house for an entire year and being brought out and terrorized by cheering people every February. I don't know. It makes absolutely no sense. It's basically one of those.
Groundhogs are like squirrels. They have little nests and run up and down, and they have burrows, I think, in the ground. I think that's how they're different from squirrels. They burrow in the ground. So if he's in a little house, then...
That groundhog probably lives a better life than we do.
Oh, probably so. You're probably right.
I mean, come on. But it's just, it's one of those silly things that we found out there.
Mm-hmm. And just felt we had to include it in this cast today.
Yeah, because we have been on a long ramble fest that most people are probably asleep by now.
Yeah, probably so.
Because we just continued going over the iPad and the idea stuff.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was going to be long, and then it turned long.
The famous last words, oh, we'll be done in 20 minutes. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
I don't know how long it actually took, but it took a lot longer than we thought. I think it's time to say sayonara until next time.
Yes, and we'll try and come up with something new next week. Oh, I will toss out the fact that here in North Carolina, last week, we reported that it was 60, 65 degrees on the day that we were recording this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we have 5 inches of sleet melting on the ground because of our winter storm this week. So we went from 60 degrees on Monday to 65 degrees on Thursday to 28 degrees or so on Saturday. So that's how our crazy weather goes.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah. Up north, they get cold and it stays cold. Down here, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah. I'll mention also that this week you can go to delicious.com/tech access/24 for our episode stories. You may not see everything because a lot of what I talked about for ATIA was audio, and I didn't post the links to that on the site. But you will get an idea of some of the things that we talked about and others that we considered. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at @TA_weekly.
And two, I'll toss out there, if people are using Delicious for bookmarks or anything like that, via Firefox plugins or Internet Explorer, if they want to send articles that they think are interesting to us, they can send it to 4:TechAccess, TECHACCESS, and it'll come to our inbox.
On Delicious.
On Delicious. And we can look at those for the upcoming shows.
And we'd love to have your input. So thank you very much in advance for submitting those to us. And like I said, we're wrapping this up. We'll see you all next time.
To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Or you may leave a voice message at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. Please visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.